Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conversation and also part of the Patriots Journalist Network, where we bring you information you won't necessarily hear from the mainstream media or from the so-called conservative media. And you can find the link to the conservative conversation by going to Facebook and going into the search engine on Facebook if you have an account, and just type in Newt Now, N-E-W-T-N-O-W, as one word. And you will see a link not only to this show from Sunday through Thursday, these are all Eastern times, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., but you also see other shows such as Charlotte Dively's Pray USA, and that is Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you'll also see Samuel Sanford Show, which goes from 10 p.m. to midnight and sometimes beyond. And you'll also see Mark Prasik's live video chat from 10 p.m. to midnight. And then in that show, people can contribute both links and videos as kind of a show prep, being a part of the show prep for the second installment of the show, which is from midnight to 2 a.m., especially for people who are going to be up late. And tonight, and so please, I recommend going there. We'll get to where I'm going to cover tonight shortly. But you can also show or find the Conservative Conversation or the Patriots Journalist Network on this show's website, which you can find a link to this show's website from the homepage of the show's page on Blog Talk Radio. And also you'll see pages there such as the Get Involved page and who some of the guests have been on the show. I also have some other pages there that I believe will interest some people. Now, tonight what we are going to discuss is, and of course callers and chat participation of the subject are welcome. And tonight we will talk about Bain Capital's origins. And what I mean by that is where some of the funds got, the initial capital that was gotten to start the Bain Capital. And also we will discuss Mitt Romney's ties to Iran and China. Now, two questions that will be asked and discussed tonight is, did Romney and Bain Capital receive investments from Latin American families involved in heinous acts, such as things that happened in Latin America? And we'll discuss that from the audio clips. I believe they're talking about events that happened in El Salvador. And also, will Romney really stand behind Israel if he was to become president? Because, and first, of course, would have to be the nominee. I mean, he's the presumptive nominee, but he is not the nominee yet. But what we're doing is of course, is vetting Romney before the convention, which is very important, to make sure that the conservatives and the Republicans, and frankly, America, is going to get a candidate that will be actually able to defeat Barack Obama in November. And what we look at is his ties, investment ties, to Iran and China are giving rise, which they are, giving rise to concerns and questions over Romney, if he became the nominee and then the president would keep his word to Israel. And if he did take money from those families, will that be something that the Obama campaign will use? And I believe that they would, and thus, get it out now before the convention. See, it's very important to get this information out before the convention because the delegates can still have a different nominee. I mean, that's why they call it the presumptive nominee. A candidate's not the official nominee until the Now, we had a caller who was in the switchboard, but they have hence left. So if the person is listening, if they'd like to call back, that is fine. Perhaps the person, called in and didn't like what they heard, or they didn't want to chime in or what have you, or maybe they just simply got disconnected. Hopefully they just got disconnected and they will call in. Hello, Iron Fist. Thank you for coming in. Same with Tessa and Lynn. Appreciate the few to coming into the show. And I wish the caller would have stayed on because I think I know Leps particularly who the caller was, but I think the caller was a Romney supporter, and I was kind of hoping they would call it in to discuss their view on why they think the Republicans or the delegates should go ahead and keep him be the nominee and other issues that we'll discuss tonight. Now, when I promoted tonight's episode, talking about what we are supporting, is we kind of got a little slack by some people in social media, and they're asking some questions, and here's some of the things that we, the people who are supporting Newt, are having to deal with. And then I'll go through these, and as people chime in, I will or come into the chat and calls. I'll proceed to the audio clips that I wanted to play for you tonight, and I have a couple articles as well. But it says, and this is what we are being blamed of, and this is the things that we have to educate the public in very quickly, because they don't understand. They don't understand that we're trying to get Romney out so that we can get a nominee who can actually beat Obama. Okay, and they're saying stuff to us like, you know, to what end are you regurgitating? I'm sure everyone's heard this one before. To what end are you regurgitating DNC talking points about Romney? Is it your goal to arm Republicans with the truth they need to deflect the lies and snuff, I guess the person meant stuff, out of the innuendo in what has already become the most underhanded campaign in modern history? And that was a question. And yeah, it's been the most undermined campaign all the history. Look at the way the primary was done. I mean, the primary is done in a very underhanded way. So yeah, it definitely has been. But you know, we've been on the receiving end of that, and so has Newt Gingrich. You know, and then the person goes on to ask, you know, are you a tool of the Democrats who snuck behind the enemy lines, to sow seeds of doubt and confusion? Well, no, I have not. You know, I mean, I'm not, we're trying to either come from the behind the enemy lines, as the people say, and we have not done that, because this isn't just, this is about me, this is about the group, this is about not the mission, but also the cause, it's what I like to call more of a mission. It's not like a military mission. However, I mean, I guess in some ways it could be seen that way, but I digress. You know, so they've done the underhanded, especially in the way that they've gotten Romney to be where he's at, and saying that we've snuck behind enemy lines to sow seeds of doubt. Well, yeah, we want to have people have doubts about Romney because he's not the official nominee. He is only the presumptive nominee, and thus, yes, we want to shine the light on Romney, vet Romney, before he does become the official nominee, to wake people up to say, look, the stuff that we're putting out, this isn't stuff that's, the Obama administration isn't going to use. They're going to use it too. And thus, we want to get it out before the Obama administration can destroy the official nominee, which he's only the presumptive nominee, in which he could still be, but gone. But a lot of people do not realize that. A lot of people do not realize that. Yeah, that they still can. And hopefully when we put the word out there about, learning about broker conventions, things of that nature, they will do so. Now, the person continues us. We have 78 days left to marshal our forces and get the vote out and unseat the worst president in American history. Well, he's right and he's wrong. Okay, I put it out. It's a guy. He's right and he's wrong. We don't have 78 days. We have seven. 7 days to get rid of Mitt Romney so that we can get rid of Obama. And for the folks who are going to be listening to this on the archives, definitely continue on with the show, because this is very important. Because if we are indeed, as this person says, unseat the worst president in America, then we're going to need to do it with someone who can actually defeat him with a record. The candidate has to have a record that they can stand behind. Not just rhetoric is what Romney is going to have to do, but an actual record saying, I've done this, I've completed that. Beyond just saying, oh, well, I was a business guy, which, after seeing some of the ways that Romney's conducted business, perhaps we want him to use that criteria as well. So the person continues, sitting on a bogus conference call, which, guys, this ain't a bogus conference call. I didn't say anything about a conference call when promoting my show. I said, tonight we will talk about, I says, show starts at 8 p.m. It says show. It doesn't say anything about a conference call, so right away you could tell the people aren't paying attention. If someone's not going to pay attention to a simple post, it's obvious that they're not really paying attention to what's going on in the political arena right now. I mean, that's obvious. So going on, it says, But, you know, bogus confidence. Well, I already caught that. Look, to learn the inside scoop on Romney's alleged illicit ties to the Frito Bandito, once again, there you see it, name calling, you know, trying to call it some silly name in order to, you know, discredit the information. You know, they want to compare us and saying that we're using Alinsky tactics, you know, in order to, you know, get our information out. But actually, that's not the case. It is them who are trying to get out the Alinsky, who are doing the Alinsky tactics, not us. So, and they don't mention Alinsky tactics, but that's what they're using, you know, oh, Frito Bandito. You know, to me, the stuff of liberal conspiratorialists. You know, how can the truth, that's something we cover on the Patriots Journalist Network, that other journalists do not do. This is the truth. How is the truth either liberal or conservative? Because think about it, folks. If he did indeed do what is suggested and shown in these audios, well, that's the truth. Truth is neither liberal or conservative. It's just truth. So useful idiots, there they go with the name calling again, who frankly want us to chase our tail. And I guess you talk about broker convention. You know, it's obvious the person's not up on their GOP history and about how broker conventions are not outliers. They're actually the norm. And there is a great by Right On Weekly article called Our GOP History that I would suggest that this person and those of you who have not read it and looked at it, to check it out. Because broker conventions is where Republicans have victory. And when they don't, they have defeat. Okay? Because you can look back in history, longer than even 40 years, and see that when you had a presidential nominee who was not the incumbent, although they won on the first ballot at the convention, they went on to lose in the general election. That's not speculation. That's not opinion. That's fact. That's just fact. But before I go to the other comments, I'd like to bring in, who does not need any introduction, because we all know, and that gentleman is Samuel Samford. Hey, Sammy,
Robert.
Thank you very much for calling in. How are you tonight?
We're doing good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good.
That's good. I mean, and you're right on the money. When we put a progressive in there, like Mitt Romney, Bob Dole, Gerald Ford, John McCain, we're going to lose. And, I mean, I've been here through all those times. I remember those. And when you put our George Bush Sr., I mean, we cannot shut up. And when people try to tell me that Mitt Romney is not a progressive, I tell them they're completely off the mark. But you nail it on the head every time, Robert, plain and simple.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it's we're not using opinion. We're not speculating. We're just taking things from history.
Which is fact.
Right.
And when people say we cannot win in a broker convention, they are not given fact, they're given lies.
Right, in order to scare people. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, I mean, the Mitt Romney camp, they are so afraid of the conservatives, especially their supporters. and they will stoop to any level to shut us up. I mean, these people, they claim to be Christians and so forth, and they use all kinds of foul language against people, and they claim Mitt Romney's a Christian. Do you think Mitt Romney would want them to use that kind of talk? I mean, they're so afraid of the conservative movement because we are not shutting up. And actually, I mean, I was going to take my show down to a couple shows a week, but some people re-energized me, and thank you for really doing that for me. You did me a big favor for giving me a purpose in my life, and I want to say thank you very much, and I love what you did. But, Robert,
yeah, go ahead, Sammy.
No, but Robert, you keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing an awesome show every night, 5 days a week. And I strongly admire you for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, and I, you know, started off, you know, with, you know, your show, listening to your show, and you were nice enough to come in and, you know, and let me talk, let me speak. And then you suggested for me to start my own show. And I thought, you know, I thought about it and, you know, talked to some other people. And there we go, including Mark Prasik. And then you guys really spurred me on to start the show, and I really appreciate it. And I think it's important to get the message out.
Yeah, and I'm interested. I want to hear what you got on your topic of Bain Capital tonight. I mean, I know a little bit about Mitt Romney and Bain Capital, and I know you're a lot more knowledgeable about those issues, and I'm excited to hear about it tonight.
Well, great. Yeah, that's definitely going to be coming in as people still file in, and I've got some audio I'd like them to listen to, and I've got some articles that I want to share, and I'll be starting to do that actually shortly, probably within the next 8 minutes. But I want to go through, you know, what we're up against, and because we only have, you know, the person mentioned, well, we have only 78 days left, you know, for the election. In my mind, it's even more dire than that. I believe we only have another week because starting next week is the convention, and that is where, in my opinion, the history is going to be told for not just the Republican Party, but for America as well.
I 100% agree. Right now, the convention is going to determine the outlook of our country. And, you know, as I've been preaching for I don't know how many months, and I know you've done the same thing, I do not believe Mitt Romney can beat Barack Obama because they are so alike. And if you're going to sway the Hispanic vote, or if you're going to sway some of the conservative African-American vote, or you're going to sway the Jewish vote, you've got to give them somebody that is different.
Well, okay, well I'm glad you mentioned the Jewish vote, because another part of the show we're going to discuss tonight is Romney's ties. I've got an article, Romney's ties to both Iran, and or investment ties to Iran and China.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that part in your headline for the show. But we got to sway these people. We got to give them somebody that is different.
Right.
And that one person, in my personal opinion, and I think you agree with me 100%, that person is Newt Gingrich. He is the only one that can do it. He is the only one that will not shut up. He is the one person that is a candidate of the people, for the people, and by the people. And the grassroots, I mean, Robert, you know and I know, the grassroots movement for Newt Gingrich has not shut up or faded away like they have for all these other candidates that had been running. Michelle Bachman, Rick Santorum. The only people out there in the grassroots movement that have not faded away are the Ron Paul people and the Newt Gingrich people.
Right. And that should be telling for people, you know. Because it is the most important election, and we do have a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, you must be working for Obama, you must be working for the DNC, you know, and all of us here who are supporting this month, like, no, we've got it, but we've actually informed ourselves, and I'm not trying to, you know, denigrate the people who are supporting Romney, but I think that they need to do further research. I think once they do further research, they'll know how much trouble the GOP and frankly America really is with a Romney nomination.
Well, and you know, a lot of these people were at one time part of the Tea Party movement, and they were spouting constitutional conservative values, limited government, and they have deviated so far off the path that they were on, and I don't know what it takes to wake them up. I mean, it just blows me away that these people have fallen asleep for the Tea Party movement. I mean,
we need something like that again. You know, and it's, you know, we need, I mean, cause they were successful in getting some people elected, that is for certain. Well, we could use that again. That is for certain. But at this time, Sammy, you suggested about playing these clips, and I'm going to. But before I do that, I'm going to bring Chris in, give him a little update of what we're talking about. I believe it's Chris, and then we'll all chime in about it. People in the chat and the calls. So 360, is this Chris?
Yep.
Yeah, Chris. Great. Thank you very much. I don't know. If you just got in, what we're talking about tonight is going to talk about Romney's, where he got his money, the initial investments for Bain Capital, and also his investment ties with Iran and China. And I've got a couple articles to speak on that.
He's the guy, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell you what, folks, both listening in the archives and those in chat listening live, and those two gentlemen I have on the phone, if you would humor me, I've got about 10 minutes worth of clips, and I won't play them all together. I'll play one, and then we could go ahead and make some comment, and then and just keep going with it, and then we'll go from there. But here's the first audio on the Bain Capital startup and where they got some of their initial investments.
Around the country. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today with new scrutiny Republican candidate Mitt Romney is facing about his record at the private equity firm Bain Capital. The latest controversy surrounding Bain concerns how Romney helped found the company with investments from Central American elites linked to death squads in El Salvador. After initially struggling to find investors, Romney traveled to Miami in 1983 to win pledges of $9 million, 40% of Bain's startup money. Some investors had extensive ties to the death squads responsible for the vast majority of the tens of thousands of deaths in El Salvador during the 80s. The investors include the Salaverria family, whose former U.S. ambassador to El Salvador, Robert White, has previously accused of directly funding the Salvadoran paramilitaries. In his memoir, former Bain executive Harry Strawn writes, Romney pushed aside his own misgivings about the investors to accept their backing. Strawn writes, quote, these Latin American friends have loyally rolled over investments in succeeding funds, actively participated in Bain's Capital's May investor meetings, and are still today one of the largest investor groups in Bain Capital. Well, for more, we're joined by Ryan Grimm in Washington, D.C., Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post. He's connecting the dots in the latest story headlined, Mitt Romney started Bain Capital with money from families tied to death squads.
And we'll hear from more from him in the next couple of clips, folks. But I just want to see if Chris or Sammy would like to chime in on any of that.
Go ahead,
well,
Sammy.
I can remember those times very well back there with the death squads and the war in El Salvador that Ronald Reagan so hardly fought for to promote democracy in El Salvador, and this is the first I've heard about this. I mean, this blows my mind. That shows
really?
Me what kind of, yep, it's the first time I've heard about this part. I mean, that shows me what kind of scruples Mitt Romney has.
You haven't seen that whole documentary. I guess I didn't get that out there enough. Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it just blows my mind. But you go ahead, Chris. You got the floor.
Oh,
or Robert does. That's his show.
No,
yeah,
well,
Robert.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, this I tripped over this. I don't know, what was that, 3 or 4 or 5 days ago or something like that when I sent this over to you. This was kind of shocking, you know, but I guess on the other hand, kind of not. And I remember, I think we've all said this before, but I remember saying this way back, you know, once we get the blocking, you know, Fox News blocking anybody from doing any serious investigation on Romney, that once he stuck his head up and started going after Obama, I remember saying that back then, we'll find a lot out now, because we all knew he was being protected. So I don't know. I guess every time one of these things comes out, I was just looking, I just got back, I had to go get some lumber, but somebody, Deborah Shields posted, you know, about the abortion business, you know, and the $50 million made, you know, on that. And just like, where does it stop? You know,
I'm glad you brought, you know what, since you brought it up, Chris, and thank you. No need to be sorry at all. I actually have an article that I was going to read tonight. This is by Karen Fish, right?
Let me open it up.
I've got an article. Well, you know what? I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction, and you know, so I think, you know, it was just, that's just how things gel. And if the folks listening would humor me, I'm going to read some of the, you know, this article. We could go through. It's not that large. It says, "Truth is stranger than fiction. You can't make this stuff up because no one would believe you," and especially the people who think, you know, us non-Romney supporters are actually DNC operatives. But, hey, you know. But anyway, I digress. It says, Mitt Romney's business record is his chief qualification to be president, he says. Did you know that Mitt Romney's business was the abortion business from which he made 50 million burned aborted fetuses? Man, that's graphic. Fetuses through his company Stericycle. Interesting. I'm familiar with Stericycle. Anyway, it says, when Mitt Romney was sworn in as governor of Massachusetts on January 2, 2003, he was pro-choice. Mitt Romney was so pro-choice that he was in the abortion business. Did Mitt Romney campaign when he ran for governor that his chief qualification to be governor of Massachusetts was that he was the owner of the largest aborted fetus incineration company in the United States of America? Mitt Romney's Romney Care, the blueprint for Obamacare, provided taxpayer funding for abortions, which Obamacare does not. I don't know about that one, but Mitt Romney introduced Romney Care to get taxpayers to pay him personally as the owner of Stericycle to burn aborted fetuses. Mitt Romney went on a national television on 5 channels this week to publicly tell the American people that he absolutely left his company, Bain Capital. Okay, this must be this is back in July 18th is when this article came out, but that's still pretty recent. Bain Capital in February 1999. When the Huffington Post reported on the Romney abortion scandal earlier, this year's Mitt Romney's, and let me tell you folks, I mean, I've got some stuff. You know, I've used some stuff from Huffington Post, but on the whole, I really don't like them too much. But unfortunately, you know, they do come out just like any media outlet does. Sometimes comes out with some stuff that's useful,
right.
But unfortunately, it's normally buried by crap. But anyway, earlier this year, Mitt Romney's campaign and Bain friends said that Mitt had nothing to do with it because Mitt left Bain in February 1999. And they knew that Romney's campaign did not buy Stericycle until November 1999, when Mitt had sever ties with Spain capital, they said. Now, David Korn, a brilliant, hard-hitting journalist, from Brother Jones, which I'm not a big fan of them either, but anywho, in the world of Woodward and Bernstein, blah, 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 let's get to the important stuff, because they're just giving people platitudes here, and I don't, if they're just going to be kissing somebody's butt, I have no interest in saying that over the radio, just the information. But anywho, documents would show that Mitt Romney signed personally for the purchase of Stericycle in November 1999, had sole voting and dispositive power, and on the Bain Capital 2002 SEC filing, Mitt Romney is listed as the sole shareholder, CEO, president, and they put and fetus burner. I'm sure he didn't sign fetus burner, but you know what I mean. I'm sure he didn't sign that, but I mean I understand what they're getting at. It says, and there's only three paragraphs left, so I'm almost done. It says, Mitt Romney is only going to release the 2010 and 2011 tax returns he just told America. When in 2008, Mitt Romney auditioned, that's interesting, to become War Hero Senator John McCain's vice president pick. Mitt provided John McCain with 23 years, John McCain, of 23 years of his and John McCain still didn't pick him. Anyway, I digress. 23 years of his tax returns that show exactly when and how Mitt Romney made the $50 million on his investment in Stericycle. This is why Senator McCain recently said that Sarah Palin was a better choice for VP than Mitt Romney. There you go, folks. One of the reasons, I'm sure. But anyway, the Republican Party, the self-proclaimed self-proclaimed pro-life party, go ahead.
Robert. Did you crawl in a bucket?
Why?
I sound like it crawled in a bucket.
Now you're back. Now you're back.
Yeah, you're a mutant.
You know what? You know what? My thumb, my finger was by my talking. Thank you.
Mm.
It's these phones. I tell you what, they're no good. But anyway, speaking of that, I want to check how much battery this thing has left because sometimes it'll just shut off. And I'd be like, oh, man, that sucks. But anyway, it says the Republican Party, the self-proclaimed pro-life party, it's the truth, folks, is running Mitt Romney, the biggest owner of the fetus disposal arm of the nation's abortion clinics. Mitt Romney's business record is his chief qualification to be president, he says. Since when did outsourcing jobs to China and disposing of fetuses put a person in a position to continue pulling the American economy out of the ditch, into cutting Mitt Romney's taxes and waging two wars, in Iraq and Afghanistan, paid by blah, 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 and they go off a little diatribe here. And it says here, in case the GOP wakes up and runs Mitt Romney out of the country on a rail, Mitt will be fine because his abortion millions are stored in Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, and Switzerland, safe from the arms of the tax man. Now tell the American people that he is pro-life. You have to admire Mitt Romney's chutzpah, or how's that, chutzpah, is that it's pronounced? Or just ask yourself, he's just plain, ordinarily, bully, liar, and sociopath. Wow. The real question is, why are we still listening to Mitt Romney, let alone voting for him? But there's the article about the abortion, folks.
Yeah, I mean, and it blows me away because he claims to be extremely conservative.
Severely.
Right.
Whatever. And I mean, he's like these damn lizards down here in Florida. They hop on the leaves and they change colors, whatever which way the wind's blowing. Yeah.
Right. It's important to point out that there's a week to the convention. People need to know this stuff about Romney because it's not going to end well for the Republican Party. It's not going to end well for, in my opinion, America, if Romney becomes the nominee. Because this stuff's going to come out. I mean, Obama's going to destroy him on it, and then we're going to have Obama for another 4 years. So it's important that people need to realize that we need a broker convention to get you know, get someone other than Romney who can actually defeat Obama. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, one of the things, I read an article yesterday, and I don't remember if I've talked about this with anybody, but they were talking about the number of Democrats polled that weren't even going to come out and vote. It was like 40%. I mean, people are just like disgusted across the board. And then they talked about the number of Republicans that were just not going to come out and vote. And I swear these people have calculated this into it, figuring, okay, well, if 30 to 40% of the people won't come out and vote, what's the balance in the swing states? And that's what we run the race with. I swear that's what they're doing, because it's insanity to think that the Christian right is going to vote for this guy. I mean, I mean, there's some pretty hardcore Christians in the Republican Party, it's insanity what's going on, and what Sammy said that he hadn't heard about this. You've got to watch this video, Sammy. It's a very well done documentary interview. The guy did all this research, put together, you know, the whole track record on the investors, the family, the names, the people tied to the death squads, tied to Bain Capital. I mean, it's very well done. It's not just some dorky, lib attack thing. The guy he did some serious investigation work. And, you know, it's just amazing. Sorry,
well,
go ahead.
You're on my page, right, Chris?
Yeah. Which one?
Any of them. I got four pages. I think I know your last name. I'm not going to put your last name out there on the show. And it starts, well, can I say this? Does it start with an S?
Yep.
Okay, yep, I know you are now. Okay, I'm just sitting here trying to identify you. Now I know your area code, so when I see you calling in, I know who you are.
I'm sorry, Sammy. Go ahead.
But okay. I mean, we have to stop Mitt Romney, and we have to stop Barack Obama. Today, I took a picture of that JD had posted or sent me in an email, and JD, you know who JD is, don't you, Chris and
mm-hmm.
Robert?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he was being attacked by this picture of he had. Mitt Romney is Frankenstein, and and Paul Ryan has the little boy starred in the Munsters.
Yep.
Did you
oh,
see that
God.
Picture?
Yeah, that was
not
from my.
It was on my
group.
It's on all my walls, Robert. You can see it.
And since Chris brought up the. I'm not sure if this is the same person who's done the documentary, and then Chris, you can, chime in if this is the same person. But here's some of the things that, at least what I've got here, he said about the issue. If this will click for me.
the political organization, which was managing the death squads, So Mitt Romney, in this context, knew very well what was happening in El Salvador. The U.S. ambassador Tom White, who you mentioned,
Robert White had
publicly accused six Salvadorans living in Miami of financing two of them Salivarias. So when it was suggested to him by Harry Strawn that he go down to Miami to raise money from the exiles there, he actually said to Strawn, "Well, make sure that these people are not not connected to right wing death squads." So it's very clear that he knew the context and he knew he knew what was going on at the time, but he was having a seriously hard time raising capital for his new enterprise, Bain Capital, and his boss Bill Bain told him that he couldn't use any of the investors or clients of Bain & Company, which was the very successful consulting firm, because if Bain Capital failed, he didn't want it to take everything else down with it. It's been reported in a number of places that he failed to raise capital from traditional sources in the U.S. And so given that, he flew to Miami, and in mid-84, he went directly to a bank and met with a number of these families who were involved with death squads, and accepted at the time was a huge amount of money. It amounted to 40% of the outside capital that he was able to raise for that initial fund. And as Harry Strawn said, they continued to roll over their investments, and you know certainly are worth tens and tens of millions of dollars in Bain Capital now.
Just reading from your piece, Ryan Grimm, when Romney returned to Miami in 2007 to launch another venture that needed funding, his first presidential campaign, Romney said, quote, "I owe a great deal to Americans of Latin American descent. When I was starting my business, I came to Miami to find partners that would believe in me and that would finance my enterprise. My partners were Ricardo Poma, Miguel Dueñas, Pancho Soler, Frank Kardansky, and Diego Rivadeneiro. Can you talk about these men, like Poma, and their relation to the death squads of El Salvador?"
Sure. Well, the Poma family was one of the top families in El Salvador, and they were very tightly intertwined with Arena. There's no question about that. The Salivarias, which we mentioned earlier, two of them were specifically named by White as specifically financing death squads. The De Solas are another family that originally invested in Bain. We know that at least four members of the De Sola family invested in Bain. We only know the names of two of them. Now, there's one man named Orlando De Sola who the Romney campaign and nobody else denies was a leader of the death squad movement. There's no question about that. What the Romney campaign has relied on is that they say Orlando De Sola was a black sheep of the De Sola family. He wasn't, the fact that he was running death squads should not besmirch the four De Sola investors, even though they won't tell us who two of those four were. However,
okay, folks, Chris or Sam, if either one of you like to chime in on that. I mean, they're naming names, you know what I mean? They're not just throwing, arbitrary information out there. They're naming names, and so did Mitt Romney, by the way, when they quoted him.
Oh, exactly. And, I mean, that's awesome, Chris, for you getting that out there, and I greatly appreciate that.
I don't know who I don't know. I can't remember who put it on my site, but it was a few days ago.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
A little bit, and then I had, of course, I mean, it was a really long clip that had more to do with, other issues besides this, so I had to dissect it in order to, get out all the fluff so that the important points.
Have...
I mean, this was like an hour long. Yeah, it was a pretty long clip that I had. It might not have been the same one. It might not have been the same one that you had, Chris. Maybe not. But this one was about an hour long, so it may very well be the same.
Right. Well, I think I put it on your chat that day. Yeah, I, and it was a gal, and
the very
male
way in the one you sent me.
She was interviewing him, and then they were flashing images and video and all kinds of stuff. I'd like to actually find the article, the written article. That would be I just never chased it down after that. I was like, one more thing to stick in the Romney bucket,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might have very well been the one that you sent me. It just, I've got, of course, if you can imagine, a plethora of, videos and things of that nature. And then it took me some time to... If it was a couple of days ago, then it was probably when I was doing either a rebroadcast or a different show on Thursday. And, of course, as I said, it took some time to disseminate, to break it down to, pertinent, to the pertinent information.
So, basically, there's that connection to the El Salvador. There's the abortion business. There was the Medicaid fraud business. My understanding is that he's got investments.
Well, actually, Chris,
in...
you brought that up, so I'm sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt you. I just want to chime in. When people say stuff, it makes me like, oh hey, I put the a light bulb over my head. And I'm glad, well, did I have that? I might have.
What?
I can't remember if I have that Medicaid fraud one on the Bard's Last Political Talks website. It may be on the Get Involved page. I believe I might have that video clip for people who want to see it. Visit the website, the Bard's Last Political Talk. You can find a link to it from the homepage of the BTR, of the Blog Talk Radio show. Just click that. Well, I'm thinking about if people like the show and they have not already, I'd really appreciate it if you just click that little follow button under the icon to follow it. But I think I do have an audio clip of that, Chris.
Hey.
If people are interested, they can listen to it later. But if not, I think I must also have it on the website. Go ahead, Sammy, and then I want Chris to finish
wow,
up the point
is that
since
like
I was rudely interrupting him. I'm sorry.
No, sound like Mitt Romney has a lot to do with our rhino governor down here in Florida, who has ties to Columbia Healthcare, who had one of the largest fines ever levied against a hospital system.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'd like to discuss, but since I rudely interrupted Chris, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead and with your point.
I was searching, so I almost forgot what I was saying. What was I saying?
No, you were talking about the Ron Paul, not the Ron Paul, but you're talking about the Medicare fraud.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just list all this stuff, you know, this guy is well oiled. It seems like nothing sticks to him. You know, through all of this, all of these things, from the tax issues to the investments, you know, like the article I think I passed it around. You may have read it about the French directory company that used to be owned by the government, and then they went private, and then he got Bain, you know, opened some accounts overseas, played around, did some investments, bought and sold, made a ton of money off of that. And none of that money was taxed, and it was rolling around. I mean, how many more things are going to be exposed? And I've said to people 100 times, I don't care how wealthy a person is. I don't care, you know, if there's legal loopholes not to pay taxes, good. I don't like paying taxes either. I don't have a problem with that. But the question is if he's doing things wrong, why isn't it being dealt with? If he didn't do anything wrong, then why isn't he being honest about it? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if they use legal means to do things, these companies, you know, the Medicaid fraud company, the thing that Sammy just talked about, the El Salvadori, you know, ties to the death squads in his initial investments, and my understanding is they still have money invested in Bain. So it's like, it's like,
mm-hmm.
where does
we'll
this
talk about
stop?
That later on. And I've got another audio clip that's going to talk about that.
Okay.
And then 843, I do see you in the switchboard. And when these gentlemen are finished for the moment, and of course you guys later on, you know, chime in to stay on the line, I'll be letting you in. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh no, that's fine. And so, you know, it's like, are we going to wait? I mean, you know, and I don't want to speak, you know, him being nominated. But are we going to wait until after he's nominated for all this stuff to finally hit? I cannot fathom in my mind.
What's the Obama campaign going to do?
Mm-hmm. I just can't fathom how they expect to beat anybody with this stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Now, here, Robert, I'm going to have to hop off and go put my phone back on the charger for my show.
Oh, there
but
you go.
I'll be,
well, thank you very much for coming in.
I will be listening. And, Chris, I got your area code now. I think you were trying to call in the other night. I didn't recognize your area code. please feel free to call in tonight on my show.
You bet.
We will. But, I mean, main thing, people out there, support people like Robert. Robert is an awesome patriot. He stands for Newt Gingrich, and he stands for constitutional conservatism, and he's getting info out there. Robert is doing an amazing job, and thank you, Robert, for what you're doing, and God bless you.
You too, Sammy. Take care. I appreciate it. And you can find Sammy's show as part of the Conservative Conversation or the Patriots Journalist Network. Which you can find on if you're on Facebook, You could go to the search engine on Facebook and just go in the search engine and put Newt Now, that's N-E-W-T. And there's other shows you can find on there. Right now you can find Tex and Rex, which, you know, I didn't mention earlier, and I apologize. But you can find the Tex and Rex show, which is on Friday and Saturday evening on this same time slot, which is 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and that's Eastern time. And then also, folks, Sammy shows, you just heard him. He is on from 10 p.m. to midnight, sometimes later than that. And also in that time slot, you have Mark Prasik's live video chat, and that is from 10 until midnight. That's the first segment, and the second segment is from midnight to 2. And so one interesting thing about that is the first segment, you can, you know, contribute either videos or links or things of that nature, and that could be shown on the second segment of the show. And also, for those out there who are the prayful sort, you have the Pray USA, which is Pray USA, which is Charlotte Dively's show, and that is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And of course, you can find that where I told you. And also, there's a link on the about the show page on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. But that being said, I'd like to let 843 in. So, Chris, if you'd stay on while I let in 843,
sure.
I appreciate it. And then we'll go on to the third clip I have of the Bain Capital. And, yes, 843, if you can call in, we just ask people when they call in, just be respectful and no profanity. And thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind? Perhaps. Okay, they dropped the call. I answered, and they dropped the call. So, I don't, yeah, I believe that might have been the second time that the person called in, 843. We'll see. And 843, if you are listening in the chat or on some other mode of listening to the show, you are welcome to talk and actually say anything, but who knows, perhaps be saying be civil and no profanity just made them decide not to talk on the show. But maybe if they can control that, then they can call in and be comfortable with talking.
Well, I think also, Robert, I think that what happens is when you call in, like I'm, you know, because I'm still new to these shows, you know, it says hit the, you know, you don't hear anybody talking. And if you don't know to wait past, you know, when the person talks about hitting one to cue in, you know, and you don't hear anything, you think you have to hit one and you didn't mean to do that, didn't realize that if you just wait, it goes to, you know, where you can just listen.
Oh, okay.
You know what
okay,
I'm
well,
saying?
Yeah, that's true. I've had people do that, and I let them on, and they're just like, oh, well, I didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
I think they're
just
a little confused.
That's possible. But, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if 843, if you're in the chat, one thing that you could do, and other people who are in as guests, if you'd like to, it just takes a few moments so that you can participate in chat, because there are times I do like to bring things in, such as what Paul Rary said about Massachusetts financial disclosures from Romney, filed in 2003, states that he still owned 100% of Bain Capital in 2002. And that's one of the things I like to do is bring people in from the chat. And if you sign in with a guest, not a guest name, but with a name, then you can participate. And I suggest that, you know, you're able to do that, and that'd be great. The more the merrier, I say. So, hey, Chris, so what's your thoughts on me playing that the third Bain clip I have, and then we can discuss that?
You bet.
All right.
Alan, and shortly after that meeting, two of the activists who had met with him were assassinated. The Guatemalan government, citing its intelligence sources, concluded that the assassinations were committed by Orlando de Sola, Roberto Dabison, and Francisco de Sola. Now, Francisco de Sola is still alive, and his assistant confirmed to us that he was one of those three people who was accused of these murders. Now, he denied it at the time, and he denies it today. But just the fact that the Guatemalan intelligence services would lump him together with Orlando de Sola and Roberto Dabison, who are just known as basically the two leaders of the death squad movement at the time, dramatically undermines the notion that the people involved with Bain are somehow deeply disconnected, or that there's some bright line between the people involved in Bain and the people who are funding and operating the death squads.
And Ryan Grimm, Mitt Romney's response to your investigation and to these allegations.
Right. What they did is they sent me a paragraph of an article from the Salt Lake Tribune in 1999 that read, as was Bain's policy with any big investor, they had the families checked out as diligently as possible. They uncovered no unsavory links to drugs or other criminal activity. Now, that's simply impossible to believe. These families were certainly connected to death squads. Now, Romney told the Boston Globe in 1994 something along the lines of, we checked out the individual investors and made sure there were no, quote, obvious signs of criminal activity. We didn't check out their in-laws and their cousins. So those are two, you know, inconsistent levels of diligence that Romney is claiming to two separate papers. But if you take the one at the Tribune, which is the article that was sent to me by the Romney campaign, that's simply unbelievable. There's no possible way that anybody in 1984 could check out these families, which is the term they use, these families, and come away convinced that this money was clean.
You quote Robert White saying the Salavedia family was very well known. Now, Robert White was the U.S. ambassador to El Salvador. The Salavedia family was very well known as backers of Dow Bisson. These guys were big money contributors. They were total backers of Dow Bisson and the extremist solution, including death squads. And I wanted to read an excerpt from Greg Grandin's book, Empire's Workshop. He's a professor of Latin American history at New York University. He writes, the problem was that the military groups had very little popular support, due in large part to the fact that they were preternaturally violent. According to Reagan's own ambassador, Robert White, their solution to the crisis was apocalyptic. The country must be destroyed totally, the economy must be wrecked, unemployment must be massive, and a cleansing of some 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 people must be carried out, he says, and he is quoting Robert White.
Okay, Chris, well, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I heard those mass amounts of people at the end of that, and I was like, wow. I mean, that's just incredible. And if there's, and you know, the Obama administration is going to try to tie, that's around Romney's, neck, and he's really going to just hammer him after the convention.
Well, I just, I guess I'm in kind of a stunned shock at the inability to get this stuff out there and get it dealt with. I just put on your chat. Did you see what I just put on chat?
Yes.
Obama campaign sent a letter to the Romney campaign, says if you will release 5 more years, we'll leave you alone. There's got to be something in there that they want out and exposed. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, I was just actually getting to read what you put in the chat, but I guess I'd be redundant since you're here.
Well, yeah, I was on a roll there.
There you go. And, no, keep it up.
Well, I don't know about everybody else. I mean, some days I'm just stunned, and I don't know if some of it is just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Who is this guy and why is he in the Republican Party, and why is he the choice as the option to run against Romney? I mean, Obama, well, same difference. But
yeah, that's what I mean.
But, I get them all mixed up all the time. But, the thing is that—
Obama.
But the thing is that you have to sit back and think they had to have looked at all this stuff, because it's just like with McCain. He didn't pick Romney for his VP. They picked Sarah Palin because he had 23 years of Romney's tax returns. He had a 200-page op-ed on him, which is, floated around all the sites. McCain-Romney op-ed, the whole investigation on who is this guy. And he said, no, I can't run this guy. And now he's backing him as president. You know, the one I love is the whole Olympics thing. You know, Romney bragged about that's one of his things. You know, his job creator claim to fame. You know, this is why I should be president, because I'm a turnaround guy. I turned the Olympics around. Yeah, with a record amount of federal funds, he turned it around. In fact, John McCain was standing on the floor of the House screaming at the top of his lungs for an investigation and calling it criminal. And then next thing you know, he's saying, this is the guy. I mean, you just go,
right.
Are you serious?
Well, I tell you what, well, since you mentioned it, Chris, I like to play this I like to play this this little 2-minute ditty for everyone. A mix of everyone and everybody,
That's that Romney Obama thing.
Yeah, Obama, there you go. It's twisting my tongue. But here you go. I think you might enjoy this.
Lost tape obtained by ABC News from Romney's 2002 campaign for governor, surreptitiously shot by his Democratic opponents.
I'm a big believer in getting money where the money is. And the money is in Washington. I've learned from my Olympic experience that if you have people that really understand how Washington works and have personal associations there, you can get money to help build economic development opportunities.
Just 2 weeks ago, Romney suggested that under his leadership, the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics got no more taxpayer money than previous games.
In the history of the Olympic movement, the federal government has always provided the transportation and security. So we came to the federal government asking for help on transportation and security.
But in this video, he talks about getting all kinds of money.
We actually received over $410 million from the federal government for the Olympic Games. That is a huge increase over anything ever done before. We did that by going after every agency of government.
He even boasts about getting money for the Olympics from the Department of Education. That's right, the Department of Education.
I believe the number was over $1 million of Department of Education funding to buy tickets for kids. This way, we got kids there. We also got additional revenues that we wouldn't have had. That kind of creativity I want to bring to everything we do.
It's exactly the kind of approach he promised to bring to Massachusetts in 2002.
I want to go after every grant, every project, every department.
You might expect a candidate for governor to promise to get federal money for his state, but that is precisely what now presidential candidate Romney has attacked his Republican opponents for doing.
Republicans spent too much money, borrowed too much money, earmarked too much, and Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich have to be held accountable in this race. I'm the only guy that hasn't spent time in Washington.
I thought you might enjoy that.
Who is this guy? How does he sleep at night? Oh, my God. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And it's out there, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, and that's why I rail against, you know, Fox News and FAUX and, you know, not Sean Hannity so much, but Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, because this is stuff you're never going to hear from them. And these guys are supposed to be conservative news. And heck, you're not even going to, I mean, you might hear it a little bit, you know, from the mainstream media just to try to make the Republicans look bad or, you know, make Romney look some bad. But they're not going to really hammer him until after the convention, because that is who the media, mainstream media, and the Democrats want to run against. This guy
mm-hmm.
that you just heard.
Well, you know, I was talking, I don't remember if it was Tex or Rex or you or who said this the other night, but I was asking about, or it was on my group, who knows, you know, I do too dang much. But, you know, I asked this question was, why isn't anybody talking about this lawsuit? This is huge. It's historical. If anybody wanted to beat up the Republicans and this is how the Democrats won the House and Senate. Nobody wants to admit this during the Bush era, but we spent and acted like a bunch of Democrats when we had full control. And we bought and paid for a Democrat takeover of the House and Senate. And that same corruption led to, with the economic crash and McCain, you know, just totally flubbing it and basically handing the election to Obama, which sometimes you wonder if that was actually a plan, as buddy-buddy as they are now. But, you know, we basically gave them a supermajority, which allowed Obama to run free for almost 2 years before the Tea Party, you know, conservatives, not Republicans, got up and fought tooth and nail across the board, including Sarah Palin, and won back the House and barely stopped this guy from totally destroying our country. You know, barely. And I wonder how much they have done, you know, at all lately. You know, Mr. Boehner and Mr. Ryan and you know, let's
Nikki
hand
Haley
Obama
and Chris what's that guy from New Jersey?
Yeah.
I'm gonna let another gentleman in. I believe this is Paul. So
Paul Rary?
Hey, I believe so. Is this Paul?
Yeah, it's Paul Rary, yes.
Hey, thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, not a problem. Good topics.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of add some fuel to the fire on the Bain Capital thing with our favorite friend Mutz. I come across something about 3 months ago that I kind of filed away as a mental nugget, but I hadn't gotten back to it. And this is that link between Bain Capital and the Howard Hughes fortune. And where did all that money go? So some of my readings now have got where these gay, the, I want to call them gay guys, but it's the father and son, Robert Gay and his son. They were trust. They were Robert Gay was appointed trustee for Howard Hughes in his when he was briefless days. And was one of his top lawyers. Well, as the Howard Hughes fortune was kind of dismantled and sold into different areas, one of the things that Robert Gay and his son actually kept control of was the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and it shows that it was worth at that time $8 billion some odd, at least 5.2, what I'm reading here, but I've heard is read as high as $8 billion. And that money came under Bain control when Bain was actually formed by the son Gay, and I can't remember his name. Might have it, it's one of my pages up here somewhere, so I'll grab it. But that money ultimately fell under Mitt Romney's purview as the sole proprietor and 100% owner of Bain Capital. Because, you know, Bain Capital came out of another Bain named company. It just like changed names and, you know, reorged some of its paperwork. And Mitt Romney became sole proprietor of what was something like a limited liability partnership, but they didn't have them back then, right? So where did that $8 billion go? Well, in some of the readings I've gotten, and I'll collect them into something because I'm talking about it, but I haven't kind of got it all packaged yet where we can just kind of run it out there.
Right.
So but what I'm finding is that money just started to evaporate, and now it says it's down to about 5.8 million. Well, 15.8 million. Well, that's nothing out of somewhere between 5 and 8 billion, right? Well, that money is in somebody's pockets, and it went to fund things. Now we bring in things that happen in Lebanon and these other countries, and the CIA mixed in here is, and I'm sorry to get this nagging thought, is Bain Capital just a front for big money movement within governments and CIA? Is that what he's doing? Is that what it's doing? And is that why he stays so squeaky clean and nobody can touch him? Because everybody's taking care of his ass? Because nobody in the top of the governments want this to really be known? It's the follow the money thing, and some of the stuff you can't hide because of just the way the exchange of things have been. But I'm really, and this is, you know, I hate to sound like, you know, one of these conspiracy theorists, but as I'm beginning to pull some of this stuff together and read through it, these things begin to kind of fall into place. And it's like, that's why he's so damn squeaky clean. Because the guys who can clean this stuff up are keeping them clean so they can keep the money flowing.
Yep.
And also, if he, you know, seeing as Mitt was 100% sole proprietor of Bain Capital, what was it, 2002 or 2003, you don't just liquidate that money. Where is it? Right?
It's overseas.
Exactly. And that's where Obama knows this. Because now pulling it back a little bit to what we're talking about here, Obama has had Holder and the DOJ going very hard on offshore accounts since early 2011. Well, why? Because they know Mitt was going to be, they're going to be running against Mitt, and they know that the money is overseas somewhere. So going after this publicly, and not against Mitt uniquely, but going after this offshore stuff publicly, and using the IRS to go after this, but any means they can under intelligence capabilities, going after this, they know where Mitt's money is. They do. They're just trying to figure out how to surface it legally. And this is the telegraph to Mitt that says, we know where your money is, and we know you're a felon.
Hey, Paul, anyway, real quick. Stay on. Real quick, folks. No, I just I got another gentleman on the line I'm going to let in, but Paul, I want you to finish your point. And then after you finish that, Paul, I'm going to play the final clip from the Bain Capital clips I have.
But I want to can I add something in there, Paul, before you go on? Because this might be something that you have thought about or heard, but you're not going to say. And that is this issue of a few years ago, and don't quote me on the actual timeline, so I'm not going to put a year out there. But there was a lot of people for a lot of years legally had offshore accounts that were tax havens against paying U.S. taxes. Then they went after that and changed the laws, and they gave those people an amnesty deal. You remember that? Anybody read that? I have that article somewhere. And they're saying that he was part of that, and anybody who receives an amnesty deal is not qualified to be president, and that article was making a tie to Romney's money overseas and this amnesty program for tax havens against paying U.S. taxes.
Yes,
Anybody hear about that one? Yes,
it's a very good point. And to draw it back a little bit farther in time, I don't remember when that new tax regs were put in place either. I'm thinking 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. 5 years or less, right? Because that's where Obama's saying 5 years, so it's got to be somewhere in that time frame, right? Now what happened with that law was that the law was put in place, and then there was a time period where you had to report where there would be no criminal charges. And it wasn't an amnesty thing. It was just, okay, the law's in place. Now you have to comply with the law, right? It wasn't like we're going to go back 20 years and fine you for that because the law was just put in place. Well, so that time expired. And then there was the amnesty period saying, okay, we're not going to do anything to you criminally, but we're going to charge you the back money that you didn't report when that deadline was over, right? No criminal charges, just need to report that. Well, you've got billions of stuff over there, right? That's a lot of money that you're going to have to pay. So it's like, okay, wait, they got to find it first. And so their thought was, well, you know, I've already, you know, been doing all this business with the CIA, so they're just going to continue to cover my ass anyway. Whoops, now I got an unfriendly running that show. Right? So I hear you, and I think that's part of it, is that I don't think Mitt applied, or that Bain or whatever it was, that was helping Mitt with his funds. I don't think, this is my speculation now, I don't think he reported that stuff under the amnesty area, under the amnesty clause for no criminal charges. So now that's where he's got some real serious problems, because now it's criminal. He may, I mean, others, he and others may get a deal where they don't go to jail, but they won't get a deal where there's no criminal findings or no criminal, what do they call it, conviction. Right? It may be a criminal conviction with no jail time, and you pay a little bit of a fine, negotiate it.
Sure.
But that, what that does is that makes Mitt ineligible for POTUS.
Bingo.
Or as a candidate, right? And that's where Obama is saying, ha, I got you by the balls, dude. And yeah, you got my college transcript, but you know what? That just means I lied to my college transcript. You've got a criminal problem. I'll just pay back a few $100,000 for defrauding the government, right? That's not a felony. He just needs to pay back the charges. So it's a tit for tat here, and Mitt's got the worst end of it because he can go to jail.
And well, you know the thing that. Go ahead. Well, No, you're great. You're doing awesome. This is great to hear you talking. I see you on my group a lot. One of the things that I say this constantly, and I'm sure, Paul, you'll get a chuckle out of this, but I repeat this over and over again. You have to defeat a sitting president. All Obama has to do is not lose. People need to understand that. This is not about two guys firing for one position. One guy already has that position. All he has to do is not lose. And that's important to understand that.
Which he's not losing. That's another point, reason why we need a broker convention to get Newt Gingrich in there. Because let me tell you, he's losing now. Could you imagine what's going to happen when all this comes out after the convention? I mean, right now, in my opinion, Romney should be 10 points ahead of Obama in every state poll. But he's not. And it's going to get worse when this stuff comes out and he gets hammered after the convention. And then Obama's going to, you know, get reelected. We don't want that. We have to have a broker convention. Get someone like, you know, Newt Gingrich, that's who I support, but I would much more support a Ron Paul than a Mitt Romney. So, you know, Romney's got to go. Yeah, without the terrible way of saying that.
The whole thing about
Ron Paul, Sarah, Newt, you know, name your favorite conservative. And I'll even bend a little bit here and say include the Santorum folks who are still very disenfranchised. It's all of us together against Mitt right now. It's not, I want Paul and I'm going to scream him and you can scream Newt, but no, it's all of us together. And don't get hung up on you. Don't get hung up on your guy. Get hung up on not Mitt, right? And let the delegates hatch it out.
Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah, I've been
2,286 people getting ready to make a decision that is going to be historical or hysterical, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, indeed. And at this point, gentlemen, and Paul, please, you know, if you'd like to stay on the line, you're more than welcome. But I'm going to play the last Bane clip, and it's about a minute. And then I'd like 562, who's been waiting, to go ahead and chime in. And then after that, we'll just I'll go at it. So here's the last clip.
Interestingly, the question would be, will the Obama administration make something of this initial Bain investment capital? And will the Romney administration will the Romney campaign raise the issue of President Obama and his kill list and the operating of drones that are killing many in Yemen and Pakistan, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Right, it'll be interesting to see. And if the Obama campaign does do anything with it, I would expect that it would be done in the Latino community to help drive support for Obama there, because that, you know, as you said, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of refugees who are here today because of the violence from there, and when they find out that the oligarchs who were funding that violence also helped get Romney's Bain capital off the ground, that could influence the way they vote.
Okay, now 562, I know you've been waiting to chat. You're still there. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Kevin?
I'm pretty well, thank you. I'm just listening in to you guys, seeing what you guys got to say today.
Well, great. If you just want to listen, that's fine,
Kevin?
Too.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, let me throw this out here before Kevin gets on a roll, because he gets pretty passionate.
Nothing wrong with passion, man. That's all right.
No, I love it. But I wanted to throw this out here because this ties to everything that we've been talking about, all these different points, you know, what Paul was talking about, the little bits and pieces I've thrown in there, the things that you've thrown in there, the foundation for this this program today, is that all this is going to come out and a bunch of stuff that we don't even know about. But there's something else that is not that I think we've talked about on one of these programs, and that is, and I've asked this question, why isn't anybody doing any news on a historical lawsuit? And I don't remember who chimed in on this on my site or whatever, but they said, it might have been Paul. They said, I think that was you, Paul, that said they're waiting until after the convention. Because if you want to show the most unpopular Republican ever run as a president, all you have to do is interview all those delegates that have been removed by the Romney RNC club, you know, which is, I don't know, there's several hundred of them, Ron Paul delegates, and 1,000 people who are witnesses or plaintiffs on election fraud and coercion, including 6 people have had bones broken, including all the video footage of people running out of caucuses, like in Oregon, with a ballot box, running away with the box on film. So if you want to show the most unpopular man in America right now, all you got to do is run everything on this lawsuit, and he's toast. People will go, oh my God. And I swear that was you, Paul, that actually said that on one of the posts, you know, that they're waiting until after if he gets nominated, and that's another thing they'll go after him with.
Yeah, thanks. It was, actually, I was embellishing on somebody else's comment that brought that. I say Ron, I think it was Ron or Don or somebody, another one of the very eloquent guys that's on Sammy's show. He touched on it, but what I added to that was it's not just Ron Paul's lawyers who are really championing this for all conservative patriots. Richard something or other.
Richard
Gephardt. He is a Ron Paul lawyer, but his efforts are for all conservative patriots, all true believers in the GOP and the Jeffersonian way. It's not just, I'm going to do this for Ron Paul. It's, I'm going to do this for America. It just happened.
Yep.
It just happened to come out of the Ron Paul effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the nut of this lawsuit is about delegates. This is the national convention, like the GOP and RNC. Excuse me, the RNC and DNC conventions, not the state conventions. The state conventions elect delegates. Okay. Those delegates go to the national convention and are free to vote for whoever they decide is the best candidate to run against their opposition party. Okay, what the GOP, what the RNC elite tried to do when they ousted Michael Steele and put in what we call him now Ritz Pubis, and put in Ritz Pubis is that they went and this gets to the RICO Act. Criminal activities of Mitt Romney's campaign and Ritz Pubis is that they have gone after the primary voting results and the delegates that have been elected and are either trying to force them to sign what they perceive to be legal instruments, which is worthless paper, that they will vote for Mitt Romney, or they are trying to unseat them after they have been duly elected by local state GOPs. Those are criminal conspiracy activities, and that is what what Richard's lawsuits are all about, is outing these criminal conspiracies and enabling the voted seated delegates to attend and to be free to vote for the best candidate that they deem to run against the opposition, not this predetermined thing. Okay, so there's two aspects to this this lawsuit. Oh, And you'll see in the MSN, in the MSN mainstream media BS, that, well, the lawsuit was thrown out. No, the lawsuit was, the initial filing was incomplete and did not have enough precedents of law cited. So the judge dismissed it without prejudice and then assisted Richard, and then assisted Richard to recraft the filing so it had the completeness of precedents of law so that it would carry properly through the court to have so that it could be weighed upon or so it could be judged effectively. Okay?
Right.
By all accounts, what we're seeing is that this will proceed and be approved or found in favor of the plaintiffs. But, you know, we don't know, and that's what we're waiting for, and it is working its way through very quickly. Now, why do the MSMs hide this? And when I say MSMs, there's MSMs and then there's Fox News. Well, there's Fox News, as we know, is owned by Bain Capital. So we know why Fox News does not, is one, in the toilet with Mutt, and two, does not report anything bad about Mutt. Okay, well, the MSMs are just waiting until after he is after Tampa so that they can then unload. But anyway, yep. Back to the lawsuit. So here's the deal. Here's the deal on the lawsuit. The RNC does not want that lawsuit to progress because then they lose Mitt and they know it. That is like the final straw that they know that they have been cut off at the knees. Now, the DNC, not so much the rank and file Democrats, but the DNC knows that they've got a problem with Obama and they can't just say, well, we're going to toss Obama out and put in, example, Hillary, which is like the news is showing BP, maybe whatever, right? Well, Bill's not there to rah-rah for Obama. Bill is there to rah-rah for Hillary as nominee, right? Because Hillary takes a backseat to nobody. That bitch has got bigger ones than anybody in the RNC elite right now. So, excuse me all. Okay, so the RNC is afraid as hell of this lawsuit. The DNC elite is praying for it to pass. So the fight between those elitists on both sides is, excellent, pass this thing, versus holy shit, we lose Mitt if this thing passes. So the liberal judges are going to want to pass this thing. But the conservative judges that hold to principles, they're going to want to pass this too because they know the story. So it's like it's a perfect storm that we're headed to here. And there's a whole other slew of that we talked about with the Tex and Rex show yesterday about perfect storm things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that lawsuit is being hidden by MSMs for one reason, right? And is being hidden by faux news, Fox News, for another. But they're both hiding it because both of them, one wants it and one is scared of it. So I'll let it go here.
No, well, actually, you mentioned it a minute ago. I have you might have heard it already, and you probably have. It's a 10-minute audio clip. I know it's, you know, a longer clip than I normally like to play. So if you guys hear something and you want to chime in on it, if you even want to hear it at all. So I have an audio clip talking about the lawsuit. Would either one of you gentlemen be interested in hearing it? Or
as a thought, I think maybe the first 5 or 4 minutes is very good for the background and the foundation of the factual representations of the case. Then Richard does kind of fall into the rah-rah Ron Paul piece, which
this doesn't have Gilbert in it at all.
Oh.
Okay, I haven't heard it yet, but go ahead. Whatever's appropriate that you guys want to do.
Okay, well, here we go. Well, you know, that's one good thing about this is I have a stop button, so if it's not going anywhere, we can stop it. So here we go, guys. And this is normally, you know, people don't comment during an audio, but since it is of a longer nature, if someone wants to make a comment while it's going, go ahead.
Catch it in the chat.
The purpose of this video is to give you a brief overview of the civil rights lawsuit being filed by Lawyers for Ron Paul and ElectionFraudRemedy.com. We're a community of independent grassroots legal activists comprised of lawyers, paralegals, and concerned citizens, and we're filing a lawsuit against various state GOP parties and the Republican National Committee for voting rights violation and election fraud committed during the 2012 Republican presidential primary election phase. Why is this lawsuit necessary? We're preparing this lawsuit for our legal and physical protection. We have overwhelming evidence that the voting rights of Ron Paul Republican delegates and voters have been violated by nearly every state GOP party and the RNC during the 2012 primary election phase. The patterns of abuse have devolved to those of an organized criminal enterprise with utter and blatant disregard for any rule of law. As time marches on in anticipation of the National Convention, the severity of abuse is escalating. We need to take legal action to enforce our rights and to protect ourselves from further, more serious abuse. Without this lawsuit, the pattern of abuse is guaranteed to get much worse, to the extent that the delegates who attend the National Convention will be subjecting themselves to the risk of legal peril, and Ron Paul will be guaranteed to lose the...
Okay, folks, I just thought the judge just informed us an older one. There will be another date. Thank you very much, Chris, for letting me know that. I've had it for a while, and I haven't had the opportunity to update it, so go ahead.
It is absolutely a great – that's the original video that was built for the on the site, the election fraud remedy, to educate people on the importance of the lawsuit, which is really a lot of what Paul covered. There's some important – one key thing I wanted to add to both that video and what Paul was said is the lawsuit has changed – in some aspects. Now, originally, the lawsuit was a federal question, but they had the 1,000 plaintiffs involved, you know, all the election fraud and everything else was part of the suit. One of the things that the judge wanted removed, because he did not have time to address it, was those issues. In other words, the fraud, the coercion, the broken bones, the threats, everything else. Because the primary focus of the lawsuit is a question. Do the delegates follow RNC rules or do they follow federal law? Saying, you know, RNC says that you're bound, federal law says you're not bound. And that's really the basis of the lawsuit. Richard knew that when he threw all of that in one lump sum and presented to the judge that he had a bigger argument because there was all this fraud and all these other issues involved. But it also lent credit to the suit, you know, or to the issue of, look, Judge, here's all these people that are being denied their right to vote their conscience. So now the updated one that Paul was talking about, where the judge sat back and said, okay, I finally, after 7 hours of deliberation, the judge finally admitted that the Voting Rights Act of 1971 was the precedent case that this suit could go forward on in a refile. So they refiled, but they took all the plaintiff stuff out and just filed on that key question.
If I may, Chris. Yeah. So in very topical things, there was a separation between civil, meaning the federal law, and criminal, which is the RICO stuff of the breaking bones and that kind of stuff. So it's a civil and criminal. And Richard is pressing the civil matter, and that's the one the RNC and DNC are scared to shit with both ways.
Right. Now, here's what's going to happen with this thing and this has already occurred in Arizona, and I'm not sure about other states. They're prepping this. But Arizona already, and I've said this before on air, is Arizona already has the FBI in there taking that evidence that was part of that case, that those people in Arizona of the voting fraud and all the issues that they had, and that's an investigation right now. So all of these individual plaintiffs that have thrown in on this lawsuit, you know, will go back to their states and they will file investigations in their states. And so this thing has some far-reaching ramifications across the board, and that's where that RICO Act concept comes in. And you've heard Richard and all of us, anybody who's ever listened to his interviews, he has no qualms about saying this is a criminal conspiracy, and I'm going after this guy like a crime boss. I mean, I remember the first time he said that, my jaw hit my chest. I'm going, that's pretty bold, you know, to make a statement like that. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Hopefully tomorrow, hopefully we hear something, and of course that'll go viral as fast as possible. So that's my input. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, if I could say something real quick here, you know,
of course
I like Newt Gingrich's role right now at the convention. To be honest with you, I like the fact that he's going to have all his hands on the delegates. He's going to be able to educate them on facts, educate them on everything that needs to be in order to defeat Obama. Because if in fact this does go to a broker convention, he has the upper hand right there. If you think about it. Because they'll be hearing his voice throughout the whole workshop period. So this lawsuit right here, like you guys are saying, is really, really crucial. So if, in fact, it does go through and there is an open convention and there is a workshop with Newt Gingrich educating the delegates, Newt Gingrich is going to run away with this thing. I mean, it's all a matter of the judge going through with this or not. It's all a matter of this lawsuit. If the lawsuit goes through, I don't think there's a doubt that Newt Gingrich will be the nominee of this party.
I'm right with you. I don't think it's a question of if the lawsuit goes through. I think it's a question of how fast the track can run.
If it runs fast enough to where there's an open convention, though, and like I said, New has the workshop with all the delegates and everything. I mean, he's gonna run away with this thing. I mean, I don't think there's a doubt because what he did with us is he planted a seed. I thought about this earlier this morning. He planted a seed, okay? He knows he influences very many people with how he speaks and how he, you know, presents conservatism. He knew what he was doing when he stepped away from this campaign, when he quote-unquote suspended his campaign. He knew there was going to be people that are like us, like Sammy, like Robert, like everybody, who are going to educate the people because, you know, that's just the way he is. He knows how to do it. So I think he's been five steps ahead. I think he knew all along that this was going to happen, you know, so he was just preparing himself, you know, by planting the seed and getting people influenced and ready to, you know, rock and roll and get ready for this open convention. Because historically, you know, open conventions are, you know, the norm. I mean, you know, some of our best presidents won because of an open convention. So what's wrong with it?
Absolutely. And Newt's really set the seeds when he stood up there and said, people are trying to figure out how to play checkers.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to focus on playing chess. Or I'm paraphrasing, right?
Right.
And right then, you know, it's like, well, I know Obama's people aren't stupid. It's Obama that's stupid. So what's he talking about here, right? So the first thing he did was, he misquoted. He called it vulture capitalism. He should have called it vulture. He should have called it vulture economics, so he didn't get in trouble with the capitalists, which are on both sides.
Right.
But he was dead on target when he surfaced that. And he didn't need to go into the nut of it because he knew that the chess players would go deep into it, and we are. Okay.
Exactly.
You know, folks. Here's what we got to deal with. I'm going to chime this in. I'm doing a little multitasking while listening to this, and we're all on Facebook, and there's a Facebook page called the Coffee Club. And this should be interesting, guys. It's called the Coffee Club Conservatives, and this is in parentheses, so if you want to search it. It says, Conservatives for Fiscal Excellence. Well, I posted tonight's show on that page, and I started out the show reading some of the comments that people are saying about us. Okay. And this is why it's important to get this out. I mean, these people are either ignorant or they say they were Romney. They say they were Newt Gingrich, you know, supporters, or you know, but I think they might have been Romney operatives. And you know, you've got people saying things such as, you know, one it says, I believe you will see this next time. This time next week, there will not be a broker convention, bound or unbound delegates. Romney will be seated in the first round. Blah, blah. It says your reference to GOP history comes from a biased – and people, we know who the GOP history article comes from. Okay, it says your reference to GOP history comes from a biased source by what you have been misled. You should also consider Newt Gingrich will be hosting Newt University, a series of public policy workshops for delegates to brush up on the policy in U.S., blah, blah, blah. But
That's exactly right. He will be hosting Newt University. He will be hosting it. He will be educating them. And like we said, if there's an open convention, he will have planted the seeds into their heads.
Well, there's a person on here, and this is what I say, you know, imposter likes. There is a person here who still has a Newt button on their picture for their, for their Facebook page. It says, and this is what they're saying about us, you know, which this is what we're up against, folks, is, you know, let me finish, Kevin, and then go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Go ahead. Okay, someone to jump on, I understand that. So, some that are butt hurt just can't accept the reality before them. Our boy New is not in the running. If anyone has a chance at winning a broker convention, it is Paul, and he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. Some with radio shows need this broker convention trying to have legs so they can have something to talk about, as if there's not any other topic. Anyway, it says, in fact, they are rebels without a cause, more aptly, and this is about us, folks, rebels without a cause, more aptly, accidents looking for a place to happen. Then he asks, this is to me directly, says, a candidate that cannot win, I might have agreed with you 4 years ago, and without Ryan, this is a joke, without Ryan as his VP pick, but it seems as if you were trying to determine a self-fulfilling prophecy, go Christ boy, okay, go, whatever that means. Turn the water into wine, we can all bow down to your witty, insightful political dogma. Here we go. And this is supposedly a new supporter, as I'm saying. These so-called new supporters, they were probably always Romney people in the beginning. It says, now go back into your mother's closet and resume trying on her dresses. Now see the immaturity that we're dealing with? My God.
No new supporter I've ever known talks like that.
No, they don't. They absolutely
don't. You know
what
I'm saying?
The first statement there in that first part where the person claims the broker conventions are from a totally biased opinion. Well, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, Barbara Haney is not biased. She is extremely informed and an educated woman who has made decisions. There's a difference, okay? And a person that says, you know, gets a broker convention is a biased opinion, how can you argue with facts of what has happened in the past? You want to rewrite
right.
it so that it doesn't happen? I mean, come on, people.
Well, they're not just on Facebook. They were on Twitter, too, saying that, you know, we're a bunch of crack pipe smokers, you know, we're on the dope, and, you know, get off of that already. You guys are living in a fantasy land. I mean, they're going crazy. Just the fact that they're even bringing it up, Romney people, they're just the fact that they're bringing it up should tell us how much influence we have already on them. They're getting mad. You know, they're getting worried about the fact that, you know, we're a week away and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, they are. I get that a lot, too. What planet are you on? I said,
I tell them, learn your history. That's all I tell them. And I'm like, do you guys learn history? I mean, is that why our education level is such at a low level right now? Because you guys are so stupid, you guys don't know history? I mean, what's your guys' problem? I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous, you know? I mean, these people call themselves conservatives, but here they are supporting the most liberal candidate that was running in his primary, even more liberal than John Huntsman, who served with Barack Obama. That should tell you something.
And you know what about these folks? Is these folks, now they'll make a little post on Facebook here and there, and that's fine. You know, people's got their own way. However, there have been shows, and I continue to do so today, where I've openly, you know, invited these Romney supporters, come on in. Come on in. Tell us why you think Romney should be, you know, we should support Romney. You know, and come in and debate us, discuss it with us. And you know what? I've gotten maybe two, and by the end of the conversation, they admit, oh, well, yeah, I guess Romney is a moderate. Or two, all they can come in is scream, yell, and call names. And so there's not one who's come in who's had a cogent, a civil, you know, a logical, you know, reason or explanation as to why we should get behind Romney, you know.
Because there is none.
They are, people mention a phrase, they are cowards. They are cowards because they won't even come in and have a, you know, and discuss and try to defend what the, you know what they're saying. Especially when all they do is, you know, name calling. Because we've all heard, you know, okay, denigrate the messenger, and maybe somehow you'll denigrate the message.
Look, here's what you have to tell them. Look. This is what you have to tell them. We're against Obama more than you are. That's the bottom line. Get used to it.
That's right.
I mean, that's all you have to tell them. We're more against Obama than you are.
Well, yeah, but they'll
shut up. Yeah, they'll shut up. They won't say it because every time I said that, they haven't replied. They shut up after that.
My favorite one is, I'm going to vote for a rusted beer can over Obama, but it doesn't matter if you have a no-win situation out of Tampa. And they just go, well, what do you mean it's a no-win situation? And then it's open, and you just give them the facts. And if they don't read them, then they're lost anyway.
Yeah, if they even accept the facts, and they're like, oh, well, but anyway, we've all dealt with every single one of us here on the call, and I'm sure people, everyone in the chat listening on archives who is supporting the broker convention has been hearing.
Keep tweeting hashtag broker convention,
yeah.
I'm telling you. Keep tweeting that, people. I mean, the more we tweet it, the more pissed off they're going to get, and the more, you know, when they get pissed off, you get off your game. You know, I mean, that's just about anybody. It's a sports analogy. You know, once you get pissed off, you're off your game. You don't perform well, you're done.
Yep.
You know, and that's what they're doing. They're getting pissed off. They don't know what to do. They're lost. They're running around like chickens with their head cut off right now. They are so crapping it right now. They don't know what's going to happen. They act like they know what's going to happen, but they don't know.
No, they're worried. You remember when Axelrod started coming back on the air, and for him. Yeah, he's always been. I don't like anything he says, but he's always been this cool, calm, collected way of speaking. Mm-hmm. And one of the folks in I think it was on Sammy's show had mentioned, well, Axelrod's looking awful nervous lately. There was also mentioned, does he know something? Well, you know what he knows. He knows that we're headed for a broker convention, and they're scared shitless. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And you notice how Obama is all of a sudden taking a break lately? He's not really, like, going hard. It's like little soft salvos coming out. Yeah, we expect Biden to have his gaffes, and we all enjoy those. I thought that was a hilarious thing. You all put the back and change thing, and I thought it was just perfect for us. But they're softening their rhetoric because they're afraid Mitt will get pulled. And they know that they can't beat anybody else to put out. So if you look at the signs from the DNC, they are scared that we are having a broker convention. So we are doing the right things.
You know, I speaking of that, there's someone in the chat. I guess it's Lugnut, who went to the link with that group, and I made a comment. Yeah, about the coffee group or whatever, the coffee club.
Yeah, I'm on it right now.
Yeah, and she was nice enough to like my post I put about the youthful idiots. So if anyone, you know, would care to go ahead and like that, well, I'd appreciate it or make a comment on the guys. I don't know if you have to be a part of the group. Interesting thing was is I was actually invited to go on that group, which surprised me because the guy who invited me, we debated over the convention, and he didn't. You know, he doesn't want one, and I do. So I was actually super surprised that I got invited to the page. And also, I'm thinking, I'm going to post on this page about tonight's show. I'm sure I'm going to get kicked off of it within a day or so. But you know, what the heck? Why not try? So what would some access?
Ask them the simple question: why don't they want one? If we're all against Obama, there's no problem with it. We're all against him.
They're afraid because they've been told by Fox News and by, you know, other conservative media outlets that and places on and quote unquote new pages on Facebook that, you know, if we have a broker convention, there's not gonna be enough time to get the money to, you know, to beat Obama. There's not gonna be enough time to get the organization
to beat
Obama.
There's 60 days left before the election after Tampa.
Here's the thing. The money in the organization
is already in place.
It's already there, regardless. It's already there.
We're here. We're ready to go.
All right.
It's more than that, Kevin.
Regardless of the nominee.
It's more than that, Kevin. It's
all of the organization ready to run against Obama, the super PACs, RNC and all that. That's all waiting for the nominee anyway.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
So it's all in place.
But
so
you
really,
still need but you still need boots on the ground. See, and we are the boots on the ground. You know,
yeah.
we know how to be activists. We're doing it now. You know, we're good at it.
Yeah, I guarantee you that tens of millions of people, conservatives, will jump up and get a fire under their rear end the moment Romney is sent back to the Democratic Party or France or wherever he needs to go.
Oh,
but anyway, let me tell you this real quick, Robert. The first person, he's a Romney troll. I've seen him around, and I told him he was an idiot, I think, one time. The second person used to be a Newt supporter that I go back, I mean, all the way to the beginning, was a friend of mine, and got scared. And the next person, the one that tells you, Robert J. Letter, Jetter Jr., I believe you will see, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
that
right.
person used to be on my group, and I had to let her go also. And then the guy underneath that, you know, I have no idea what happened to him. I mean, somebody got to his brain.
What's the group name? Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Well, it's in the chat. The Coffee Club, parentheses, Conservatives for Fiscal Excellence.
Which
with
I
a picture
find
of,
ironic
with a,
that they're pushing Romney.
As soon as I get off the call, I'm getting in there.
With a picture of Newt. All it is a place
There's
to...
There's a picture
you
of
know
Newt
what,
by the coffee.
It's a place to pull people in and then chip away at their confidence. That's all it's about.
Now that I've heard of this group. Thank you very much for that update. Thank you very much for informing me. You know, because here's the thing, folks, is that, you know, it's unfortunate that they've been pulled away. It's been unfortunate that, you know, they're exhibiting this level of immaturity and ignorance. However, that being said, you know, when this thing goes down and it's a broker convention, you know, it's going to be, you know, you're bringing them back, trying to bring them back. But if Romney does indeed get the nomination, of course, let's be prepared for them to like, oh, we told you so. But I think what we need to, you know, we ought to prepare them for is that, you know, if maybe we should be concentrating on the House and Senate. Because this is my opinion, folks. I'm not saying that for anyone else here, but I think Romney, if he's indeed, is going to be a lost cause. But I was also wanting to cover tonight, because I've only got like 3 minutes, was
actually, Robert, you know what? The whole party's a lost cause because no one can defend that record. So, if he's the nominee, the House, the Senate, and the presidency is gone. I'm telling you that right now.
Bill, let's hope that's not the case. But I just wanted to put in that, tonight I was wanting to also cover Romney's, investment connections with China and Iran. But we did not have time for that. That's fine. This was some great conversation tonight, great discussion. So I'll probably cover that topic tomorrow night. So if anyone who is interested in covering that topic, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow night.
Yeah, because that's new to me. I just barely heard bits and pieces of that, so I'm all about wanting to hear about that.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I've only got a couple minutes here, and I want to thank everyone for coming in tonight and calling, you know, and also participating in the chat. It's definitely your contribution in the chat and calling that makes these, you know, the great shows that they have been, and I really appreciate that. So hopefully see you guys again tomorrow night. And have a good evening and tomorrow, and take care. And I will end with the song I like to end with because it's a good, relaxing song to kind of help bring us down from all the passion we've been putting out. So here you go. And exactly. So take care, guys and girls.
All right, buddy.